My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ if you're one with Christ.
Good morning, Patriots, and today is Friday. It's the 17th of May in the year 2024. Birth rates are down in the U.S. We've talked about this, but it's bad. And so there's a couple ways that we can be reflecting on this. The one thing that birth rates never indicate is the difference between the general population birth rate and the birth rates amongst Christian families. And the interesting thing is that more and more Christian families I encounter have well above the average birth rate, which is, I think, 1.6. But U.S. total fertility rate is down 20% since 2008, which isn't accidental. This is going to get into everything else that we know, the vaccines, the food, the water, the poisoning of our culture. And it's being engineered by an organized group that themselves are not the top of the pyramid. The most intent group of people in destroying the United States are the organization, ideological insanity, psychopathic, pedophile, flesh-eating pedivores known as the Zionists, in a general term. It has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with their bloodthirst and their hatred for God. And that action has done a great deal in tearing down the very fabric of the United States, both in economic value, family structures, and in the principal issue of who we are as a nation. It's not to be missed that 2008 was the time that they broke what I will just say it this way, and this is not a racial issue. When I state it, this is, it's a fact. The white male was broken in 2008 with the rupture of the economy and the breaking down of many jobs across this nation. And of course, on the backfill of that came a nice little drug called oxycodone and others that created mass addictions within the working class and literally eviscerated whole families. So it's, I say all this on a happy Friday, right? Like, oh, thanks for starting out my Friday that way. But there's good news, because there's a lot of things within this. When we start looking at the, I guess good news wouldn't be the right way of saying it. There's everything, that every bit of darkness offers opportunity. And that's the sort of thing that we have to start really digging into and understanding how much they want us to believe in their narrative and how much choice we actually have, which is not insignificant. One of those choices that we have, literally, is a choice of how it is that we're going to take care of our bodies. We have dealt with this COVID con shot a lot, and it's destructive. We know that. The COVID con is such a negative element in our world that the more that we learn about it, the darker it gets. And we know this. I mean, this, the entire structure of what we were exposed to during COVID con was lies, coercion, and force. And even and at the core of it was always fear. One of the problems for those that avoided the shot, including those that took the shot, but in particular those avoided the shots, is the spike protein, which continues to shed and cause problems. And it's funny, every time you hear a story now about somebody getting an aneurysm or a stroke or dying of a heart attack, literally, it's almost uncontrollable with me anymore. I just go, were they vaxxed? And unfortunately, we're finding many that were not. Maybe that's old age. Maybe it's 5G. But maybe it's also this shedding that's going on, which is not just conjecture. There's a lot to that. Warrior Essentials has a new product out. It's powerful. And is these messages that I share with you here are not FDA evaluated or approved. That's the same FDA that brought you the clot shot, the same FDA that brought you autism in the form of a needle and denied it, the same FDA that wants you to get vaccinated on like the eighth time, I think, for some, and probably the same FDA that's approved the flu shot that manages to give more flu than taken away. All those things said, this product I'm talking about is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Those things have to be said, because this is not a product for those in the pharmaceutical industry, because it doesn't make them money, but it is a product that offers a great deal of opportunity for you and us. It is something that it's designed for the jab and those that also were around the jab. It removes the toxins, repairs the circulatory health, and restores your epigenome. Fantastic baseline for your body, and it does it to allow your body to do it to itself. So you're not, it's not a drug doing it, it's initiating the body's natural processes. All you have to do is head over to Bard's link, which is recoverwithbards.com, recoverwithbards.com. That's, the link is always below the podcast. You're going to save up to 50% off of regular prices plus free shipping, and you're going to get rid of those spike proteins if you have them, which I'm afraid to say we probably all do now. Boost your health. So just head on over to recoverwithbards.com. That's recoverwithbards.com for up to 50% off regular prices and free shipping. And there we go. And that's a happy Friday right there. It's all good. We will talk about the Flemingsburg brick sale a little bit here. And again, tonight, we want to get that fired up. We've got to get a video up. We've got a new design for that whole gazebo. It's awesome. It's going to look really good. People are buying bricks, which is awesome. So it's a really awesome thing we're doing. I said awesome three times. I guess that's the word for the day. But it is great, and it's exciting to see us coming together as a community to make this happen. So that's good. And there are a lot of great things happening with that. So thank you. And when I say thank you, I thank you for all of us coming together. Right? It's really good. I'm going to get one for my mom and dad, put them side by side, which I don't know how we're going to do that exactly. And people have been, and we will make it happen. we took the order numbers and we're kind of aligning order numbers. When we get the bricks, they're going to come in a pallet lot, and we'll coordinate with the company. We'll figure it out. It just may take some sorting when we get them on the ground, but we will definitely figure it out so that they're put in the place where people want them to be. And, of course, we have Bard's Fest coming up in July. All those things we'll talk more about tonight. I think we will. And actually, it looks like I told you I was going to do it, and he texted me back this morning, my friend Ivan Ranklin. And we are friends. I want to be clear about that. You know, some people say, like, oh, my friend. You know, someone always told me, it's not who you know, it's do they know your name? He knows my name like I know his. That's good. Anyway, Lieutenant Colonel retired Ivan Ranklin. I think he might be on tonight. So I'll let you know. It's going to be pretty good. And I did get a confirmation from him today. I mean, like this morning. Actually got the confirmation very early this morning, which was 2:20 a.m. my time. And he has said he's available for me to call in and do a pre-show record. So we'll do that today. And as long as nothing changes on his schedule, you can look forward to that tonight. All right. That's a lot of administrative stuff. Back to where we were talking about. Andrew Torba, the CEO of Gab, has been a solid voice in the Christian community and has really pushed the window on how to fight in this war with Gab. Gab has, I'm convinced that a lot of the initial push for Gab was flooded by a lot of propaganda that was extremely hardcore, even almost to the point of pro-Nazi. The disadvantage to having a platform that is open to free speech is that the agencies, the three-letter agencies, build little teams to go in and to, you know, you get a person opening an account, they open 50 more accounts, and they create their own echo chamber, and it looks like that's all that's in there. But the interesting thing is that even though those teams likely did that on Gab to try to flood Gab with a lot of extreme right material so that people could then point to Gab and say, look what the alt-right is actually about, which is a bunch of nonsense. The unfortunate part for the fools that did that is that they were actually revealing much of the truth. The truth is that our government is an extremist, tyrannical, fascist, Nazi-based regime. And they have been behind the destruction of this society. And they are willfully participant in trying to destroy the very country that we live in and subject all of us to slavery. And that's the unfortunate and real truth behind so much of the world that we live in. I read this last night at the end of the show. I want to read this now at the beginning. This is a post by Brad Miller, former lieutenant colonel of the 101st Rockessons, stepping down from his career, which was made. When I say that, he had a full career in the military, West Point graduate, had one of the most prestigious jobs in the main body army, which is the lieutenant colonel of the Rockessons, a long legacy in history, and he stepped down because of the jab and his principles, which says a lot. But this kind of brings it all into focus. He says, stop being an agent of your own enslavement. Even amid the current chaos, there are reasons to be optimistic. But optimism must be grounded on a realistic appraisal of the situation, or else it's just naivety. All three branches of the federal government are acting to destroy life and liberty. The military carries out operations to harm, tyrannize, and mind control Americans while feigning loyalty to the Constitution and interests in national security. The federal government is controlled by sex death cults, Gnostic transhumanists, secret societies, and traitors who hate you and me and want Americans either dead or sick and enslaved. Our food, medicine, money, education, and even our sense of freedom is fake. Our political, legal, and justice systems are a facade. The churches have been infiltrated, co-opted, and inverted. There it is. The entire system in its current form is entirely anti-God, anti-mankind, and anti-American. And we literally pay taxes to this thing. I can't believe it. Anyway, and yet, there is still a reason for hope, but it's not going to come from those seeking our destruction. Let's stop feeding the system that is quite literally killing or enslaving us. Let's center ourselves on God, get engaged, and take action at the state and local levels. Get involved in the community. Take back the schools and the churches. Let D.C. sink into the abyss along with its shrines to all things unholy. I love this post for one particular line. I mean, not that it's not well written. Brad's an excellent writer. He's a very intelligent man and soldier and leader, and I have a lot of respect for Brad. But it gives you that feel-good down the spine moment when somebody actually puts this out there and says with this, because you've heard me say it, but this is the key. Take back the schools and the churches. That's your vulnerability node within a community. County commissions, we want to get them, and sheriffs, we want to get them. But if you bring your churches and schools in alignment, I will guarantee you what comes out of that is going to be a new sheriff and a new county commission if they're not in alignment with that. Because the value structure changes. The awakening in a culture, in our cultures, has to be rooted in a moral shift. And moral shift doesn't happen in a sheriff. That's the protector. And moral shift doesn't happen in the county commission because that's your legislative element. Moral shift happens when the society in a community takes the value of children and then also the value of God back onto the docket and says, those are the things that are most important to us. That's your critical vulnerability of change. Schools and churches. And so every community should be having an action plan to take back schools and churches. And that might include like mounting up posses on horses and taking this would, let me just put it this way. Here would be a fictional film script that I would love to make sometime. I think this would be a better way of doing it. Because I do not want anybody to feel threatened. I think that would be very bad. Be very bad if you were a pedophile and you felt uneasy. So I'm going to present to you a script, a visual of something that might be a fun film to make. Of course, it would be purely fiction. And it would have no relevance in reality. But this would be a vision of, in my community, it would be loggers and ranchers. And you would have loggers coming out in their big trucks one morning, assembling around the rally points of the pedophiles that are on the school boards, for example. And suddenly, loggers would be dumping loads of logs in front of the building so they couldn't get out. And then with chainsaws, they would be cutting down the telephone poles and be toppling communication systems. And the welders might be there too, because the cell phone towers might suddenly start falling as they're being cut at the base, and the loggers are strapping them to their big trucks and they're pulling them with chains, and the cell phone towers start collapsing. And then there would be this arrival of a posse coming. They'd be all on horses. They'd be our ranchers. And they would be demonstrating how to rope. And they would literally rope. But the loggers would be helpful in going in and cutting down the doors and getting access to the places as these woke idiots scream, You're offending me and you're scaring me, as the rope was thrown around them and they're tied to the back of the horse and dragged down the halls and then over the log encampments that were built on the outside. It might get a little rough. And then they're dragged across the city as they go down to downtown. And all the loggers assemble and all of the people assemble. And there is a whole rally of people down there with the churches, and we're praying on them. They're kind of roughed up, because these were the pedophiles. These were the people that approved the material in the schools. And then to finalize it, we would just watch the cowboys rope them, tie off their feet like they do calves, and then throw those ropes up and over, probably light poles or maybe a, I wouldn't want to, I don't think they'd have time to do a temporary gallows yet. But then they would hoist them up by their feet and let them swing and just leave them there and then go away. End of story. I'll tell you. But we have to get really fed up with these people. We have to drive them out of town. Okay? They don't belong in there. That was a script of a movie. For those of you who tuned in late, that was a new movie coming out, so to speak. We're all watching that film. I'll tell you, this is crazy time. It really is. Build the film. We'll call it Hunting. removing the lizard head pedophiles from the earth. It's a science fiction hybrid is what it is. There it is. There is a war going on being waged by domestic enemies against the United States military that is far more destructive than any threat we are facing from our foreign adversaries. This comes from Matt Lohmeyer. Military senior leaders are ceaselessly waging a political and culturally subversive campaign against our men and women in uniform. There is no doubt that men and women of character will continue to lose their motivation to serve and will leave the service. And there is no end in sight to this recruiting trouble. Senior leaders and decision makers who pretend to care about solving our recruiting and retention problems without first abandoning this activist agenda are only fooling themselves. The memorandum below, which is just signed on 13 May of 2024, admonishes service members to celebrate and honor the lifestyle and contributions of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, and queers. I cannot believe I just read that. Oh my gosh. What have we become? Anyway, continuing on, God bless America. And we need a lot of God bless America right now. You may think this is nothing new, but the energy and directness of the agenda is only growing stronger each month, and the activists who wage the campaign are more brazen than ever. False spirits who thrive on division and destruction seem to animate our every move. The memorandum honors the strength and progress that activists have brought to the force. The memorandum empowers commanders to organize activists for their bases. It is a revolutionary campaign that no longer needs to hide its aims. It employs all of the right revolutionary language. It is Marxist, rooted in DEI. At its best, it is evil. And I'm adding this, it is not just Marxist, it is satanic. Our entire military has become infested and infiltrated by Satanist and Satanist spirits. If you are in uniform, now is the time for you to speak up against this agenda as if life of your country depends on it, because it does. That would be everybody in uniform and everybody, including Border Patrol. If you are a military leader and you understand firsthand the deleterious influence of the leftist activists perpetrated by our Defense Department, then speak up now and accept that you are damned, that you are a damned coward and accomplice. And that you are just, I'm just going to simplify that, and that you're damned. And I mean that in the full sense of the curse. Feigned kindness in the face of evil is only foolishness. Tolerance of this revolutionary spirit at the critical hour is a little short of treasonous. I would say it is treasonous. Cowardice is the opposite of faith and love. So, time to lay it out. And if you didn't hear, Apple is removing the clown emoji coming up because it's considered to be an extreme right trope or something like that. It's unbelievable. Yeah, so we're in the middle of a war. So I want to go back to Andrew Torba, which is where I began. He wrote a really good article in his post that he does on Gab. This was posted on May 16th, 2024, which was yesterday. The root cause of this demographic decline, referring to the decline in the birth rate, are complex and multifaceted, but there are a few key factors that stand out. First and foremost, the rise of secularism and individualism has led to a decreased emphasis on traditional family values and a growing number of people choosing not to have children. When you stop valuing what God offers you as the greatest gift ever, which is the gift of life and creation, your society will suffer, and it will suffer miserably. We were to prosper and expand. Occupy, expand. That's the concept. Our culture is atomized in individualism, and in the West has transformed so many into self-centered and selfish monsters. All of them. Did you hear that interview yesterday, or not interview, but you probably heard yesterday that Cohen, who was Trump's attorney, just got eviscerated by Trump's defense attorney. And the reason I bring this up at this juncture is very simple. This man has lied to everybody. He has lied. Now, the question you have to ask is, what is that mentality of somebody that will continue to fabricate and live in a world of lies? It is a narcissistic, a narcotic, a psychopathic tendency, and this man had power and influence in government. He is one of many. The entire aspect of government has become one of corruption and anti-people. That is its foundation. It hates people. It hates us. It worships a death cult. All of it. Okay, additionally, the increasing cost of living and the pressure to pursue higher education and career success have made it more difficult for many couples to afford having large families. That last one is critical. There is such an obsession within the culture to send kids to college. So parents start figuring out from the beginning how they can not only raise the child, but set money aside to pay for the college for children. Maybe take that one off the docket and add another kid. It's tough but not impossible to have a large family when the economy is so rigged against you. Making it happen requires a lot of self-sacrifice and reevaluation of your priorities. 100%. This is such a good article. Finally, the widespread availability of birth control and abortion has enabled people to easily prevent pregnancies and terminate them when they do occur, further exacerbating the problem. We are making great strides on banning abortion in our states across the nation, but decades of damage have already been done. Remember, this all goes to the root of Kinsey, who made the assault on the family. Christians are called to be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1:28, we need to be baby maxing. I love this term, baby maxing. This commandment is not just a suggestion or a personal preference, but an essential part of our mission to spread the gospel and disciple the nations. By having large families and raising our children to be faithful, God-fearing people, we can ensure the continued growth and prosperity of our communities and the preservation of our shared values and traditions. Moreover, by focusing on our own households and prioritizing the growth of our families, we can counteract the destructive influences of our enemies, most of whom do not have children of their own. That's another really good point. As their idea and ideologies die with them, our faith and values will continue to thrive, passed down from generation to generation through the strong bonds of family and community. So he has five bullet points. So what can we do to address this crisis and fulfill our divine calling as Christians? Here are a few practical steps we take. Number one, embrace the concept of baby maxing. This means prioritizing the growth of our families and actively seeking to have as many children as possible. It may require making sacrifices and reevaluating our priorities, but rewards will be immeasurable. Support, and that comment there, rewards will be immeasurable, that's rooted in our faith, not just in, like, I feel good. I hope you see that. God will reward it. Support and encourage our Christian families in their effort to have children. This can take many forms, from offering emotional support and guidance to providing material assistance, such as helping with childcare or contributing to the financial costs of raising a large family. What a great insight. That's literally building community and looking at the importance of our faith as a community as a whole, not community as an individual action that somehow we just kind of love our neighbor, but coming together. Number three, advocate for policies that support large families. This can include lobbying for tax breaks or the removal of taxation altogether and other financial incentives for families with multiple children, as well as pushing for educational and health care policies that make it easier for parents to raise large families. Here's one for you. If you are of the LGBTQ movement, you will never get a tax break for kids because you can never have one of your own. But if you are of a community, of a Christian community that is trying to raise up good valued children, then you will get no taxes at all. If you're Muslim and you hate America, you're going to get taxed. Sorry, this has to be that way. Promote a culture of life. This means working to the end of a scourge of abortion and advocating for the sanctity of human life at all stages with the conception of natural death. And then educate and disciple our children. It is not enough to simply have many children. We must also ensure that they are raised in the fear and knowledge of the Lord, installing in them the values and principles that will enable them to carry our faith and traditions for generations to come. This is solid right here. And, you know, anybody that is going to support another country while they're here, I mean, literally, if you believe in another country and you're here always complaining to us, like, Somalia, which would be Minnesota's new flag, other issues like this. I mean, if you want to see Palestine raised up and you want to burn us down, well, go to Palestine. We're good with it. We're not going to get in your way. We're going to give you a nice ticket one way. If you want to support Ukraine and you want to see all of our military people and dollars go and you haven't served, we're going to offer you the opportunity to go fight in Ukraine. Give you a one-way ticket and a uniform and a gun. Go get on the front lines and fight the Russians. I mean, if it's that important to you to hate this country and to try to get us involved in more wars, destroy the family, if you are LGBTQ that wants to come after the kids, we're just going to send you to an island or maybe a boat and you all can figure it out because you don't belong here. We just have to start getting solid on all of this. So Andrew Torba's final line here, get married, baby Max, get to the church. 100%. It's good stuff. We have to really start digging in here. And it's a true attack that we're dealing with. But the problem is us as a people, the actions that we take or don't take. This is a very powerful piece I'm going to play. It's 3 minutes. You don't really need the visual setup, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. The visual setup in this is a guy that walks in front of a classroom, and he looks across the field of his students, and he chooses one person randomly, seemingly randomly, and he says, I need you to leave my class and never come back. This is like the first day of class. I want you to hear this.
You there, second desk, blue jacket. What is your name?
My name is Alexis.
Alexis, please leave my lecture room. I don't want to see you at one of my lectures ever again.
I don't understand.
I am not going to ask a second time. Thank you. Why are there laws? What are laws for? Anyone?
Social order?
To protect a person's personal rights.
So that you can rely on the government?
Justice? Thank you. Tell me, was I unfair to your classmate just now? Indeed, I was. So, why didn't any of you protest? Why didn't any of you try and stop me? Why didn't you want to prevent this injustice? You see, what you have just learnt, you wouldn't have understood in 1,000 hours of lectures unless you lived it. You didn't say anything because you weren't affected yourself. And this attitude speaks against you and against life. You think it doesn't concern you, so it's none of your business. Well, I'm here to say, if you don't help bring about justice, then one day you too may experience injustice, and there will be nobody there to stand before you. Truth and justice lives through us all, and we must fight for it. Because in life and work, I mean, we often live next to each other, but not with each other. We console ourselves that the problems of others are nothing to do with us, none of our business. And we go home glad at night that we're spared, but it's about standing up for each other. Every day an injustice happens in business, sport, or on the tram, relying on someone else to take care of it is not good enough. It is our duty to be there for others, to speak up for others when they cannot. I am here to teach you the power of your voice. I want you to learn critical thinking to empower you to stand up for what is right, even if it means going against what everyone else is doing. Let's begin.
Yeah. It's a really interesting point that people really don't see that on. And I would say all of us at one point or another have been so influenced by the individualism cult that has taken over this nation. That's, we look too often at someone else's problem as not our own. And we don't do a reflection on the impact of one decision on one group versus another. And the example of this is the growth of the LGBTQ cult. As we have allowed the infection of inclusion at all costs, which is at the core of woke, we've seen the pulpit, rather than be an advocate for what is right, become a repository for inclusion of all things wrong. And so instead of standing up for justice in our nation and the moral foundation, which is scripturally sound, which interestingly, when I say this, there would be a nation that was Christian strong would have less concern for things like the growth of Islam in our nation. But the nation that is morally weak, Islam, is going to step in and do its thing. And I'm not deriding them for doing it. I mean, at the core of the Islamic movement in many of these districts and regions in our nation is that one, Christian pulpit has become morally bankrupt, and that we've allowed the immorality of this LGBTQ and transgender nonsense to infect not just the pulpit, but infect the communities, because we're not using that as a last line of defense. The greatest strength we have in this nation is the pulpit. And the pulpit has shied away from getting engaged into the true aspects of justice in a nation, which is what we should be doing, and we're not doing it. So much of that at the root of what we're dealing with is a broken society, and it's morally adrift, if you will. I mean, consider this post right here. This is actually amazing. It's a commentary. It was posted actually on January 12, 2023, so almost over a year ago, but still the stunning concept it was even there. And the title of this is "Belief in Freedom is Bad for You, So is Distrust of Government, According to a Study in the American Journal of Medicine." How can we even get to a place where that could even be published? I get freedom. That would be like Babylon Bee satire, which is insane. Take a listen to this.
Come on. Why is government good and private corporation bad? Well, private corporations seeking profit. They have very selfish interests. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't think government has equally selfish, corrupt interests? I mean, if you don't trust humans in private enterprise, why the hell would you trust those same humans in government enterprise? Like, people think you go into law and you're going to see dignified people because, after all, law is a dignified profession. Law is run by humans. And humans are both good and bad. And some humans are bad, and some humans who are bad are attracted to positions of power for bad reasons. The idea that we're gonna, that the government is some sort of benevolent good, and that it should be as big as possible. A, we've seen how it works to absolutely coerce submission from a population. The more the people are dependent on the government, either for your $2,000 a month because they shut your business down, or because you're employed by the government and you can't bite the hand that feeds you, the more government control, the more control of a society, the more they can make Hitler's willing executioners, because nobody can say no, because it means their family and not someone else's family.
There it is. And this is the problem that we have so much in our education system and our youth, that they've really come out of touch with what is actually going on in the world, because they have come to believe that those authorities above them are greater than them and are better than God. And much of this comes at the root, which is where Andrew Torbis struck at with his post, and what we've talked about so much here. The broken family. These kids don't have families. And unfortunately, there's multiple generations. We have Gen Z, Gen Millennial, who don't have families. Gen X, which is me and many of you, we had, to a large degree, good families. We also grew up in a pre-digital and post-digital age. So we've been in both. We see the value of the deep values that we were raised by. World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War. All of these aspects came into us, and we haven't forgotten that nearly every single person that we looked for supported for positive change John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and then a whole list of rock and rollers that just all died. They didn't die. They were assassinated and removed off the board. And they were done so because at some point or another, it was being done to remove that influence from society and leave us scarred at a spiritual level so that we wouldn't recover. All of the core of all of that gets to the depth of truly who we are and what we're facing in this day. And it's to understand the darkness of the cult that has been running the world. And one of the greatest ironies of what's going on these campuses right now is that it's not really sparking a greater revolution for them. It's sparking the destruction of the ideological matrix that's keeping us enslaved.
It's breathtaking to watch, really. Gaza has sort of become like the thread that you pull that unravels, the whole fabric of Western so-called civilization. The entire narrative infrastructure of the West is collapsing. I said that every missile that Israel launches against Gaza actually lands in America, and it's blowing the whole society apart. I mean, everything about that so-called culture, that so-called civilization, which is actually nothing but a torture chamber for their own citizens, a torture chamber for the minds of their citizens, for their psyches, for their souls. It's being dismantled because of Gaza. You've been imposing lies on your population for decades. No, for centuries, Inflicting cognitive dissonance on your people for centuries. Keeping your people boxed in a tight cage of ideological manipulation. It's like every individual citizen in your society is in some sort of an isolation cell that has beautiful pictures projected on the walls, just to lull them into thinking that they aren't imprisoned. Freedom, democracy, prosperity, upward mobility. You can be anything you dream of, so on and so on, et cetera, et cetera. All of this is being projected on the walls of their jail cells in America, in the collective West. And they can look at it, but they can't really go into it. You can't experience what you're being shown. That's America. It's happy songs being pumped in over loudspeakers to drown out the sound of you and your neighbors weeping. Weeping because their home is being foreclosed upon, or they lost their job, or they can't afford medicine or groceries, or they're being evicted, or because someone that you love has been murdered or assaulted or abducted or raped. It's a dystopian reality constantly being gaslighted by utopian propaganda. According to the average statistics, since October 7th, in the United States, roughly 10,000 Americans have been murdered just since October 7th. 200,000 American women have been raped, and over 100,000 children have been abducted. In the United States, just since October 7th, there's been nearly 150,000 home foreclosures since October 7th. Tens of thousands of people have become homeless since then, and even more have become jobless. But on the walls of your prison cell, all you see are projected pictures of wealth, of opulence, of extravagance, fun, happy, perfect, beautiful people living exciting, glamorous lives. Celebrities flaunting their wealth, singers bragging about their riches. That's what you look at all day long, 24 hours a day. Everyone that you're shown is a millionaire or a billionaire, but everyone that you've ever known is struggling financially, you and everyone you know. So there's a massive discrepancy in the reality that you know and the reality that they show. And Gaza is taking all that apart. Well, actually, Zionism is taking it apart. Zionism is destroying the whole architecture of how the West has managed the oppression of their own societies. It's exposing the West to the people of the West. And they're starting to realize just how corrupt and how psychopathic their so-called civilization is. It's all starting to hit them now. It's starting to register with them now, after all these years. And it's not just the students. It's not just the protesters. It's not just the activists, but regular, average, normal people in the West. It's dawning on them now that something is terribly, criminally wrong with their society, with their culture. Because look, there's a savage, vicious genocide It's happening right now, and you can see it. Everyone can see it. It's playing out right on the screen of your mobile phone, and your countries are backing it. Your countries, who you've always been told are the good guys, they're responsible for it. They're responsible for the genocide. Your countries are anti-peace and pro-genocide, and they want to ban and demonize anyone who supports peace and anyone who opposes mass murder. They want to shut down access to information, like banning TikTok. They want to arrest and prosecute people for not wanting to fund and enable the unspeakable bloodlust of the Zionists. You're starting to realize that your society is a monster, and that everyone in the world sees it as a monster, and there's a reason that they do, and that it is a monster even according to what you yourselves have been taught in the West. Because you were always taught about how evil the Nazis were, how evil the Holocaust was, and now you see your own countries expressing their rock-solid support, stand shoulder to shoulder, support for exactly the same type of ideology as the Nazis and the same types of crimes as the Nazis. But somehow you're not supposed to see all of this as an evil ideology, and you're not supposed to see their actions as crimes. Well, that doesn't work. By your own definitions, America and the collective West are monstrous villains, according to your own definitions.
There it is. Hard red pills, but they're truths. Truths that we have to start facing and have to continue to face. It isn't a disparaging comment on the people, but it is a dark mark on the citizenry of the United States for allowing this cult to continue its operations when we as a nation have been given the legal right to throw them off and to replace them with new forms of government that are better suit the wills of the people. All of this is centered ultimately on our understanding of the threat. And the threat has to be understood. The threat is not some foreign power. The threat is us, our government, our agencies, our intelligence operations, our military, the people that are in it. And I'm not talking about all the people in uniform. I'm talking about the institutions, the Department of Defense, this kind of constant manipulation and maneuvering of people to execute a culture and economy of war that keeps the world in a constant set of chaos so that a few people can gain financially on the backs of the dead and the murdered children and the broken societies and a cycle of constant chaos, destruction, and rebuilding, which is in itself a constant cycle of the Great Reset. Think about that. Everything that we do in the end, and what we have done in this century and in the previous century and what we are doing in this century has been the same model, which is to wage war, destroy a culture, and rebuild it. And I think that the core of that, you have to ask yourself why. And it's not simply a thing of saying, well, we have a war economy. We're erasing histories. We're killing off those that have the courage to fight. We're weakening the class of men. We're replacing them with women as women go into the workforce and the military because their egos have been so puffed up to believe that they can be equal to men when, in fact, they're supposed to be separate and beautiful roles. You affect immediately childbearing and the interest of having children. You destroy the family. You introduce the things of convenience in a society. You flood them in with what people want to be satisfied with because no longer is there a satisfaction in life. There's only satisfaction in the material crap that people buy and fill their homes with and lives with. And the worship of the materialism becomes greater than the worship of God. In fact, God's name is cast aside. And the only thing that is the question of, can I afford a Bible? Maybe I don't want to spend my money on that. Instead, I'm going to get my apple pie and with some side of ice cream because that's more important tonight. And tomorrow, I'm going to get my new TV at Black Friday and risk my life because there's going to be a sale at Walmart and there's going to be a whole bunch of other people trying to get that first 50-50, that first 50 TVs free. That's us as a culture. We can point the finger across the aisle and say it's them, but the fact is that that's us as a culture. And the collective responsibility and the humility that we have to walk within as a remnant as those that are seeking to help God and through God work as his army to restore this nation. We have to take that peace upon us and say, okay, no more. And that puts us in the fray, in the crosshairs, and literally being able to step in and say enough is enough. We have to speak for justice, and it's not justice by a system that's run by a bunch of clowns and pedophile hijackers that are taking this country down the pit. It's not justice that's run by a Department of Defense that is trying to turn our military into nutless, breastless warriors that are then sending all of our military hardware across the seas to destroy and annihilate the children, the Christians in particular, while they call it a war against Islam, which is guised and covered by the concept of the war on terrorism. The war has always been against those of faith. We have to start standing up and changing this. It begins local, not national. They want you always looking up, thinking you don't have control local. Everything is local. There's 3,100 plus counties in this nation, or the likes of which, and most of them are red, and yet most of them are acting blue. That should tell you something. Every one of us has to carry the responsibility of where we're at and start moving this nation forward and cleaning it up. And as we clean it up, on one hand, there has to be, as a Christian walk, we have to put this before God in everything that we do. But we also have to understand that at the core of everything we do, we have to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And when we get to those two places, and understanding that he is going to lead our hand, then you understand the magnitude of what justice looks like. When you take away the power that these people worship, they worship power. They literally seek that to have this reign over us as gods. When you take that away from them, they are outside of God. Even their own God can't satisfy them. It is a lonely, miserable, and slow death to what they want. When you take away the things that prop them up in power, the manipulation of children, the use of adrenochrome, the feeding on worship and blood cult sacrifice, when you take that away from them, the pleasures of sex with children or underage children, the trafficking, the financial benefit that they seek, that they feel, all of the material and spiritual darkness that's around them, when you take that away and sever them from main society, they will live in a living and eternal hell, and it will be right before your very eyes, and you will see the justice of God. Because they only have one choice at that point. Fully repent before the throne or die and live in the abyss of hell that begins here on earth when they are outside of God. And being outside of God is so unbelievably powerful, most people don't even understand it. Atheists don't even understand it because atheists have built a religion and a temple around the idea that God doesn't exist, and they work hard at it. It's a religion for them, and they don't understand that the only reason they can do that is because God allows it. Take that out of their life. Take God out of their life entirely. They live a darkness and an emptiness that they themselves have no comprehension of how evil it will be for them. A loneliness, an emptiness, a sorrowness. And this is what we're trying to help people understand. That at the empathy of our hearts comes a place. Oh, this is so Holy Spirit. At an empathy of our heart comes a place where we are looking at them because they've been misled, they've been misguided, and we're trying to get them to understand what awaits if you don't step into the embracement of God. It is not simply the fire of the lake of fire and demons ravaging your body eternally. That almost becomes a laughable joke to many because they look at this world and like, how can it be so much worse? But if they could understand that when God steps away from them, that the world that they're seeking to live away from God is still filled with God because God's allowing it. Even though there's a reign of evil here, and this is part of our choice. Our choice is to choose him or not to choose him. We are in a place of a nexus of choice our entire life. But when they choose that darkness, even around them, God is still present. He is still there. He is still saying, I will receive you if you'll repent. I'll forgive you and love you, even if you're there. I will still be there. When that goes away, what they are left with is an abyss of emptiness, an abyss of darkness that is so beyond our comprehension of eternal pain that we should not seek that on anyone. There is evil. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. There is evil. And the evil that preys on children and innocence destroys the elderly, enjoys and gets pleasure out of that. I don't have much of capacity in my heart to say that's okay. I have none. But I will say this. I do have the capacity to say you have a choice. And the choice is now. It doesn't mean that you will continue your life here on earth, but you do still have a choice, even to your last breath. Accept Christ and seek repentance in all that you've done so that you don't have to live in that eternal abyss or face the consequences of a life so darkened and so misled that you will never come back. Because that magnitude of justice that we talk about so euphemistically and to such a degree often is just, it's just like, oh God, bring it. We would not wish that upon anyone if we truly understood the magnitude of taking God out of all things. We would not seek it for anyone. And so our hearts as children of the Most High, as those with Christ within us, have to see that picture to understand that even, and this is going to sound harsh, but even the pedophile who has to face a justice in this world that does not excuse them or release them from the crimes against humanity, or the generals that have authorized death shots to the military to kill and maim soldiers, doing so for whatever motives that have driven them, though they may swing on a noose or face eternal, for the physical and mortal life, they may face it in a jail cell. The fact is that it still should be a motivation to try to lead them to Christ, because that justice is nothing compared to the darkness which awaits. That puts us in a very different place. And if we're talking, as we do so often, about the walk of Jesus, there it is, because he understood something. At the heart of meeting with taxpayers and prostitutes, tax collectors and prostitutes, was understanding that the fringe of society that everyone else was casting out needed to be saved. That does not mean that they get to continue to live. Do not confuse those two things. We're talking about mortality, the mortal body versus the spirit. And in the end, God seeks to redeem all his children. We have to execute two roles by his hand, delivering the justice that is deserved on this earth as a mortal being, and at the same time, opening the doorway for them to be able to choose the eternity of death or an opportunity to live. And heaven is not egalitarian, but it's nonetheless a choice. We are judged by our fruit. And this is where the words, we are not of this world, mean something. It is the hardest walk of all. And every one of us, when we search our hearts, knows this. It's why it is so difficult to be a believer. It is why it is so difficult to follow what Christ did. It's why there is such a thing as a narrow path and a wide path, a wide gate and a narrow gate. And when we finally are in that understanding and we're seeking that, the heart of Jesus, our King is before us waiting. Jesus, we just come to you today, just humbled, and we are so blessed as you stand before us all and your presence is here. And the words, well done, my faithful servants, you finally begin to see the path. It's never been easy, and it never will be easy. For this is the path that we walk that demands so much of us. It's almost a torture at times. The pull between the physical and the unbelievable and unrelenting forgiveness that God places before us. For we see the tortures and the horrors before us. And there is a justice that must be delivered to that. But it's the justice of the flesh, not the justice of the spirit. And the choice always remains until the end to choose which way you will go. And we should never seek to send somebody to the eternal abyss of hell. There is such a thing as pure evil. And when we encounter that, that is where God is clear. But there are so many that have been deceived, so many that have been misled, so many have been influenced by darkness and spirits that the principalities beyond their reach, so many that have never encountered or even know who Jesus is, so many that have no idea of what salvation is, what forgiveness is, and even the power of repentance. Jesus, we just ask for your heart today, the eyes to see this world deeper and more penetrating, the eyes to guide us in a very difficult place. We confuse the emotions of heaven as joy and simple things of sorrow, when in fact it's both always. And it's a balance between the two to see the glory of the gift given to God's children, the mistakes that we made that are forgiven but are painful to watch. The glory of seeing one saved, even when they have walked completely off the abyss, to pull them back in the spirit. There we find this complexity of heaven, the eyes that are not clear in simple black and white, which we always want to do. This is a world of gray, but it's a world of love. And it's a pure love, a love that seeks always to pull us back from the mistakes that we make. And we're put in that most difficult crucible on the front line in an army where we have to face that which is before us, which is pure evil, and balance that with that call to bring them home in the spirit. And the only way we can do that is to submit to you, Jesus, to submit to you. And so on this day, for all that are called, we place ourselves before you, hands up, humbled before you on our knees, and we say, Jesus, we submit. Give us your eyes. Give us your heart. Give us the discernment that we need. Because this cannot be done without you. We are not capable of visualizing the magnitude of what forgiveness and love is in heaven any more than we are capable of understanding the way justice is executed in heaven. But we can, if you simply guide us. We begin to learn in those baby steps, and we begin to see in baby steps, and we begin to appreciate the world and its fabric and its magnificence and its complexity of what God has created, and ultimately the greater purpose of why we are here. And it all begins with forgiveness of a loving heart and love for our brother and our neighbor. Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice given for us on the cross has been something we cannot measure. But we are here in this time now because of it. So thank you, Jesus. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Never an easy walk. It never has been. And all these voices that are coming out, as we can just take a step back and let this conversation evolve before us, which hopefully we can, and we will continue to. The picture unfolds, and the depth of what we're dealing with unfolds. And the complexity and challenge of our greater mission unfolds. The sword of the Spirit is mighty. There is nothing that can stand before it. And at the root of the sword of the Spirit is love. Empires will fall because of love. Peter and Paul understood that. They never didn't necessarily see its full effect, but they understood it, and Rome fell because effectively of two men. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Hopefully we've got Lieutenant Colonel retired Ivan Ranklin on. That's the goal. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.